Well, I want to say again, it's very nice to be back in Corning. I was here passing through because of our pilgrimage last weekend. It was only 10 days ago, was it? Yeah. I had a mass up at St. Mary's on Friday, a week ago Friday. That was the beginning of our pilgrimage to Canada. And then when we got back, we had a mass here on Monday, a week ago Monday, but Father Rick was the celebrant. So I was here in the chapel, and I got the chance to see the restored crucifix, which I really think is beautiful. But I didn't offer mass. And so now I'm here. I got in last night, and I'll be here for, I think, 9 days, 8 or 9 days. So I'm happy to be back and see so many people, because, you know, the last couple of days I've been staying with my brother, and the priest in the parish where he lives has been very hospitable to me, but he doesn't have any mass scheduled on Monday, and on Tuesday his mass is in the afternoon, and I left Tuesday morning. So the last 2 days I was saying mass in the chapel, and it was unscheduled. So on Monday there was one person there, and on Tuesday there were two people there. So here we got a crowd. Anyway, it's just good to be. It's like this is our spiritual home. And remember, a week from today we'll be celebrating the death anniversary of Father Francis here. So that's coming up, and that's part of what I want to do when I'm here in Corning, is honor the death anniversary of Father Francis. Okay, let's look to the liturgy. I always find the liturgy to be so helpful when I move about, but I think all of us find the liturgy helpful because even if we're not traveling, life goes on and things happen, and how do you get your balance? How do you find solid ground to stand on? Well, the liturgy provides this for us in such a beautiful way. And Anna Wim's charism is to keep mining the richness of the liturgy. On Sunday, we had the readings, which were, you could say they were about poverty of spirit, or they were about not misusing worldly goods. You remember the parable of the guy who squandered his master's money, and he ended up making friends for himself by using the money. And so, but the lesson there was, don't be so attached to the money. Use it for good. You can't serve both God and mammon, so serve God. That was kind of the message on Sunday, or part of the message on Sunday. Not only the right use of worldly goods, but also to not misuse the poor. That was part of the liturgy on Sunday. And today, the readings seem to focus on the poverty of the ministers of God. In this case, Ezra in the first reading, and the 12 in the Gospel. But it applies to all of us, right? We're all the ministers of God. We are all chosen and sent. We are all missionary disciples. And so these readings bring before us our own poverty. Both the poverty of our circumstances, which we live in a broken world with lots of problems, more than we can solve, and then our own personal poverty. We're broken people, we're sinners, and why does God expect to be able to do anything with us? That's part of what's here. And so Ezra has this awareness, and Ezra, we've been reading from the book of Ezra, but we haven't focused on Ezra's personal experience until this reading. Remember, the last couple of days it's been about the Persian kings, for some reason, giving the Jews permission to go back home. And that's a miracle in itself, and using secular pagan rulers to restore the people of God. My point in preaching to one person on Monday and to two people on Tuesday was, God can use anybody. God can use anybody. And that's why it's important to pray for everybody, because we don't know what God will do with pagan rulers who are responsible for public order. Anyway, now we get to Ezra himself, and he starts out with an acknowledgement of his wretchedness. I, Ezra, rose in my wretchedness, tore my mantle, stretched out my hands to God. I'm too ashamed, I'm too confounded to raise my face to you because of our sin condition. We've been wicked, we've been guilty, and we've been guilty for a long time, and I've come from a guilty people, and who am I to talk to you, O Lord? And that's where he starts. But you notice that even though he's acknowledging his unworthiness, he's still praying. So the worst thing to do is to say, oh, I'm too unworthy, I can't talk to God, I can't be in the presence of God. That's the worst, because that's cutting us off from the very source of our blessing. This is something like the parable with the tax collector and the Pharisee. Remember, the Pharisee is praying and praying. And the tax collector says, "Oh Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner." And that was enough. It's a prayer. So as long as we're praying, even if our prayer is, I'm wretched, I'm a sinner, I'm not worthy, even if that's the prayer, it's still a prayer. But to say, "Oh no, no, God can't love me, it can't do anything with me," that's a disaster spiritually. So here's, and if you notice in the reading, first paragraph, or the first two paragraphs, is Ezra acknowledging his unworthiness. Like, this is, you know, there's no reason why God should bless us because we don't deserve it. But in the second, in the end of the passage here, he's no longer addressing God, "You have done this and we have done that." No, he's pondering what God has done. He's pondering the mysteries of God. "Now, a short time ago, mercy came to us from the Lord." He's not saying that to the Lord. He's saying it to himself, but mercy came to us. Like, we obviously don't deserve it, and yet look at what's happened here. And I hope you can apply this to yourselves. Like, there are times when God has clearly blessed us, and for apparently no reason. We don't deserve it. I think parents know this when they reflect on the birth of their children. Say, well, why did God give me this child? I didn't deserve it, or whatever. It could be any blessing. I could think of my own ordination. Like, wow, I was so struck by what a gift, and what an unworthy recipient of the gift. And you can't deny either one of them. And that's what, well, God did that. And that's what Ezra does here. He says, well, God blessed us anyway. We were slaves, and we deserve to be slaves, and God has given us another chance. That's what when we ponder, that's what we do, right? We ponder our unworthiness, our sinfulness, and that should move us to repentance, but also to confidence in God, so that we're not blind to the blessings, because we are really overwhelmed with blessings, even though we're also in a valley of tears with all kinds of overwhelming problems. So, okay, that's Ezra. And that poverty of spirit is what we see in Ezra, that willingness to acknowledge his unworthiness, and that opens him to the grace of God. But that's what we have to do. Now, the 12 are sent out. This is the gospel. They're sent out in, well, first of all, to do an extraordinary mission, power and authority over all demons and cure diseases, and to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Okay, so that's the call, the blessing. Then, the poverty. Take nothing for the journey, neither walking stick, nor sack, nor food, nor money, and not a second tunic. It seems like this reading always comes up when I'm traveling. I don't know why this is. And I, you know, Tim picked me up at the airport, and I got, you know, suitcases, and I come into the house, and I got a big bag of stuff, and, you know, I was on a plane yesterday, I had $300 in my pocket and a credit card, you know, and a extra food. So anyway, God takes care of me. And then it says, wherever you go, stay there, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm received very warmly everywhere I go. People loaning me cars, and people, and Father Walter giving me a nice room in the rectory. And I mean, but I think what I'm doing here is that when God sends us out with nothing, it's not necessarily literally with nothing in our pocket, but it's spiritually emptiness, spiritual lowliness, spiritual dependence on God, because God does provide for us if we're willing to depend on Him. So that's what He's doing with the apostles. Why send them out in such deep poverty? Because then God can work with them. You know the principle. This is a spiritual principle. God casts down the mighty and raises up the lowly. Mary sings that in the Magnificat. And it's everywhere in the scriptures. It's even in today's psalm, which is actually a passage from Tobit. He scourges, then has mercy. He casts down to the depths of the netherworld. He brings up from the great abyss. This lowering and raising is the spiritual life. And what happens to us is when we're lofty, when we have power, when we have money, when we have something else to rely on, God can't do anything with us. So then He humbles us, strips us, purifies us, And we say, oh, what a terrible thing God has done. Why has God abandoned me? Why is God treating me so badly? That's how we feel. Because it is terrible, a terrible experience to be humbled or humiliated or our poverty is exposed. Why does he do that? Why did he send these guys out with nothing? I'm sure they asked that. What do you mean, go with nothing? Like, but then the principle is at work here. Once you acknowledge you have nothing, then God has to be everything. Then everything has to depend on God. Everything. Even the things I think I can do myself really rely on God. I mean, that's our eyes have to be open to that. When we're mighty, God has to humble us because he can't do anything else with us. But once we're humbled, then he can do great things. In the case of Ezra, he's saying, you know, we're sinners and sinners and we're so lowly. Well, they have already been humbled. They've been in exile. I mean, Ezra is saying their condition, but so why is God raising them up now? Because now they can receive and they can recognize the greatness of what God is doing even through the pagan kings of Persia. But if he had given that blessing to them 70 years earlier, they would have said, aren't we a great people and we can do what we want, and God would not even be in the picture. That's human nature. Okay, so maybe that's enough reflection on this poverty of spirit. It's really also close to our Anuim spirituality. To be humbled is a great blessing. To be little, to be poor is a great blessing because that opens the way for God's grace to flow through us. If the 12 were sent out as nobodies with nothing, and that is exactly what they were and what they had, well, then why should we expect any different? We're nobodies and we have nothing, but we have God. So we have everything and we have a lot to give. Amen. Amen.